and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
The power of his resurrection. We would also know the power of the resurrection, both. We would know both. And Paul has got a lot of reasons that he doesn't even need to say this scripture. Paul is an incredible apostle. He saw miracle after miracle. He moved in the power of God. He knew the scriptures inside out. He was Jewish before, and he knew every single scripture. He knew all the scrolls. He knew it. But then he encountered Jesus, and everything changed. In a moment of transformation, everything changed. The word that he thought, the knowledge that he thought he had, those facts were mixed with a living encounter, a living experience of Jesus and his power. What Jesus did, Jesus blinded Paul. He couldn't see. And he sent a disciple to go and pray for him and open his eyes. That's a pretty tough gig for a disciple, right? That's Jesus sending you out to this guy that persecuted Christians, like everywhere, to open his eyes. And so the power of the resurrection, the power of Jesus, was experienced by the act of a disciple. There was a hands and feet moment for someone that followed God. And you know, I believe the church, there are so many hands and feet moments. It's not a divine moment that we play no part in. It's not, and God does move sovereignly. But what if every single one in this room tonight, what if every single one in every single church across the world on Resurrection Sunday played a part in the hands and feet moment, releasing the miraculous power, the resurrection power of Christ in the life of an unbeliever? What if? And that excites me. So the message of Easter, the message of the gospel, the communion of Christ, us with him, him with us, the closeness, that's what Easter is. And I'm sorry if you're expecting a deep, profound message tonight, but I'm really pressed that the simple gospel is the right gospel, right? The simple gospel is the right gospel because it's made for everyone. It's made for everyone. I set my daughter a challenge over this weekend, and I said, Hannah, actually it wasn't a challenge, it was a threat, let's face it, parents, sometimes we do what we can, and I said, Hannah, you will only get your chocolate eggs if you can explain the gospel to your little brother. And she's like, what, Taylor? Okay, repeat after me, Jesus died on a cross, and she's trying to explain the resurrection to a four-year-old. She's trying to explain it. I said, no, honey, seriously, if he can catch this, you got the gospel, because the gospel is a simple message. The gospel is Jesus died on a cross. He was resurrected. He loves us. He opened the way for us to go into eternity. But to explain that to a four-year-old was a brilliant thing for her to do. And I was going to give her the eggs anyway, but she didn't know that. And so this morning they woke up and they're not downstairs rummaging and trying to find the eggs. She set him up playing hangman in the bedroom, like, you know, hangman with the words. And so, like, he's guessing these letters. Jesus died. She's, like, trying all of these things to get the word of God into the four-year-old. And it worked. And so he's like, today is Easter. And what's Easter about, Taylor? Easter's about Jesus dying on a cross, being resurrected. And I'm like, yes. And then he said, the Easter money brings eggs and you speak at church. I said, you got it, kid. You got it. That's what he did. But the gospel is simple. I mean, the easiest way I could explain what Jesus has done for us is the tooth fairy, right? The great exchange, the great magical exchange of the tooth fairy. Come on, put your hand up if you know what the tooth fairy is. I know you do. So your tooth comes out as a kid. However it comes out, many different ways, it goes under the pillow or in the special place. The next day, boom, tooth gone, treasure. Uh-huh. Treasure is money. Treasure is, some people do chocolate, some people do toys. It's a treasure. There's this exchange of something that was lifeless and dead for a treasure. And so if you can get the tooth fairy, you can get the gospel. And if you know what the tooth fairy is and you know what the gospel is, you can share it with someone else. Right? So That's your challenge for this week. Tooth fairy gospel. No, I'm not writing a book, but that's my picture. So the great exchange, the cross and the resurrection. So I want to talk about the power of God tonight, the miracle resurrection power of God, but we just need a couple of foundations. So the cross, all failures of human history, past, present, future, were hung on Jesus, put on the cross. He carried them. He took them away, released free, set free forever. Ever, 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 forever. That's the cross, okay? That's the cross. One man, a perfect man, had to die for the law to be fulfilled. He had to be perfect, sinless, blameless. That's what happened. Jesus Christ, a Savior who paid the ultimate price because of his passionate, relentless, unfailing, unswerving love for each and every one. Each and everyone, one, 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 every single one, not a group, not a mass, not a nation, not a people, the ones. He would have done it just for you. He would have done it just for you if there was no one else there, the ones. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's what he did. That's what he did. Humanity was stuck. We were trapped. We're trapped in sin. Our failures, our shortcomings. We were stuck. Who's felt stuck before? Stuck. I was stuck once. Back to the sibling stories. Who ever had a birthday party at McDonald's? Anybody? Yeah, it used to be big back in the day. There weren't flip out. There was no kind of jumpy inflatable places where you could just like bounce off that for ages. It was a Macca's birthday party. That's where it was at. And lo and behold, on this Macca's birthday party, which was not mine, but my older brother's, I got trapped in the freezer in McDonald's. Horrendous, you say. Yes, well, what you may or may not know is that in Macca's birthday parties gone by, you used to get a tour of the kitchen. You used to get the tour. You used to see the flipping of the burgers. You used to see where the soft serve came out. You used to do the walk by. You used to go to the back, see the storage areas, the boxes. So my brother and his friends thought it would be really funny to shut the door on the small sibling in the freezer in McDonald's. I'm going to say who's been stuck in a cool room, but probably not you. But I have. Trapped, cold, alone, probably more angry than frightened, but it was not a good place. Trapped, that feeling that you can't get out without someone doing something. That's what it is, right? Someone else has to do it because you're trapped, because if you could get out by yourself, you would have done it already and you wouldn't be trapped. That's what trapped is, right? My son was trapped as well. Now you're all going, oh my gosh, who is this parent? But isn't it? No, 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 no. So I was trapped in the freezer because of my brother's doing, but my son Levi was trapped because of his doing. And so sometimes we get trapped in life. Sometimes we get trapped not because of others, although that's true, but sometimes we get trapped because of our own doings, right? So I put him to sleep. This was a few years ago. It was nap time. Who knows that nap time sometimes isn't nap time? And I hear this. I'm like, what is that noise? And I walk out and I just listen outside the door because, you know, as soon as you open and go in, you got to engage. And so I'm listening outside the door and it starts to get a bit distressful. And he's getting more and more distressed in there. I'm like, okay, I better go in. And so I go into his room. And I see this sheet with this lump in it down the other end, not at the end with the pillow. And there's this thing just moving around, making like noises in the sheet. He's trapped himself in the sheet. He has trapped, as a five-year-old, has trapped himself at the end of the sheet because instead of going to sleep at nap time, he's decided to just play in the bed and he's literally trapped. He is completely stuck in that sheet and he was distressed. So in my, you know, my good parent love, I released him and he was like, oh, he was really distraught. If anyone knows Levi, yes, he was very emotional. But, you know, the love of a parent releases. The love of a parent releases. And so these stories of being trapped, God saw that on people. God saw that on his people. He still sees that on people trapped in sin. He still sees that on the people that don't know him, that they're stuck and that there's no way out except for Jesus. There's no way out except for the living Christ, the power of God, his resurrection power, his life transforming power coming into their world to get them unstuck. That's our job too. We're the unstucker people. I don't know. There's no name for that. But that's what we do, right? As Christians, that's what we do. And so our sin can trap us. Our mistakes can trap us. But his love releases. Sin traps, love released. We're released and set free by the power of the love of God. Released, set free. That the opposite of trapped. The opposite of restricted and constrained. The opposite. We are completely free. A love that stops at nothing. A love that has no boundaries, no end, no beginning, no sides, no top, no bottom, no restrictions. The love that is all fullness, that throws off fear, that has no equal. A love that removes failure, mistakes, and shame. A love that brings hope to the hopeless, heals every wound, binds up every single broken heart. A love that stops at nothing to pursue you and I. A love that conquered death. A love that took death for you and I. That is the love of Jesus for each and every one. That's the cross, the resurrection. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew 28. Pastor Andrew read it earlier, so I'm going to read it quick. I might go fast through some stuff. This is the Passion Translation, chapter 28. This is the resurrection, all right? So we've done the cross. We're going to the resurrection. After the Sabbath ended and the first light of dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the work at the tombs, and the earth shook violently beneath her feet. Angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Lightning flashed around him. Guards were stunned and terrified, lying motionless like dead men. Then the angel walked up to the tomb, rolled away the stone, and sat on top of it. It's kind of cool. The women were breathless and terrified until the angel said to them, "There's no reason to be afraid. I know you're here looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen victoriously, just as he said." Just as he said. "Come inside the tomb and see the place where our Lord was lying." They ran and then run and tell his disciples. Hang on, how come the disciples aren't hearing it first? Anyway, "Then run and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and I give you his message. I'm going ahead of you in Galilee, and you will see me there." They rushed quickly to tell his disciples, and their hearts were deep in wonder and filled with great joy. Along the way, Jesus appeared suddenly in front of them. I love this. He appeared suddenly in front of them. It's going to freak you out, right? And then he goes, "Rejoice!" He's funny. God is funny. "And they were so overwhelmed by seeing him that they bowed down and grasped his feet in adoring worship. Jesus said to them, 'Throw off all of your fears. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and they will find me there.'" So I want to focus now on the response of Mary. The response of Mary, who was one of the women who was there at that moment to know that Jesus had been risen. She was there before the disciples. She was there before the disciples. And I want to focus on Mary because she's really relatable. Mary Magdalene is very relatable. If you know about Mary in the Bible, she was trapped. She was trapped in sin. She was trapped in a life that was so far from God, that was so full of mistakes, so full of shame, so full of guilt, so full of rubbish. Mary knew what it was like to feel trapped, to be doing everything to please man, to be just in a place of low self-worth, no self-esteem, and to be so far away from any kind of love, let alone saving love, let alone grace of anything. That was Mary. And then Jesus came in and set her free from her accusers. He set her free from any guilt, any shame. And so Mary, this Mary. This is the Mary. Mary's very relatable. Very relatable. I can relate to Mary. And in John, the gospel, the resurrection, in John 20, in verse 11, There's a scripture, and this is the same gospel story. So the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they all tell the story of the resurrection. But as you and I are different, we have different personalities, different ways of saying things. So did the disciples. So did the guys that wrote these books, right? So in John, he always speaks out of love and out of this depth of heart and out of emotive language. And in verse 11 of John 20, he said, "But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. Going on, she saw the angels sitting in white and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus was. And then they said, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' And she said to them, 'Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.'" I do not know. "Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, did not know it was Jesus." She saw Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. "Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?' She thought he was a gardener and said to him, 'Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him.'" She probably said it like this. "If you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Now, the funny thing about this is that it says that Mary didn't know what had happened. She didn't know where Jesus was. Jesus had actually told everyone three times. Jesus had told everyone about what was going to happen at the Last Supper. He told them two times before. He told them at the Beatitudes on the mountain. He told them that he was going to die and he was going to be resurrected. He'd even told them it was going to happen 3 days later. He'd been very specific and he told them. And we might say, oh, Mary might not have been in the room. Well, the whole gospel, everything that Jesus did was spread verbally. So you can't tell me that Mary didn't know, because Mary did know. And that's also a Christmas carol. But, she said she didn't know. And I can relate to that. Right? Because how many times does Jesus tell us something and we might forget? Or how many times does God whisper something and we might be too busy doing something else that we get along the track and then we go, oh, hang on, I was meant to do that. Or hang on, that should have been, oh, it happens. It happens in our humanity, right? So we're not going to go, Mary, how did you not know that? Because it's relatable. It happens. She forgot that he was going to be resurrected. That's a pretty big forget, right? But that's okay. We have pretty big forgets. We have pretty big forgets. She hadn't gone to the side of experiencing the miracle-working resurrection power of God. She's on the side of the knowing him, thinking about our scripture in Philippians. She knew Jesus, that she would know him. She knew his love, she knew his grace, she knew his mercy. She knew him, but she hadn't gone to this side to know, to experience the power of his resurrection. And that's why Paul says both. He's talking to the church, he's talking to disciples as the both. The know him and experience the power of his resurrection. She hadn't seen or experienced it. And the thing about humanity is that we can so very easily and clearly see the death of something in our eyes. But to see the resurrection power, we need the eyes of faith. In our humanity, we can so easily see when something is broken, when something's wrong, when something's, it's just not working, when something stopped, when it's rubbish, when a relationship's just failed, when a job is lost, when the bank account's empty. We can see those wrong things. We can see them easily. We can see the lack. We can see the lack. But do we see through the eyes of faith the power of the resurrection power bringing life from nothing, bringing what's going to happen out of nowhere, bringing that promise of God, that financial provision because you've been tithing week in, week out, bringing that from a bank account that's got nothing, bringing hope to a hopeless situation, bringing health, even though you've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and fasted and prayed and even got your friends to pray. We see through eyes that see the resurrection power of God in faith. In faith, can you see hope? Can you see life? An answer. life-giving, hope-bringing, resurrection power of Jesus. That's the one that transforms lives. That's the power that transforms lives. And tonight, I really believe that that power is ready to transform lives. That power is ready to transform lives. So you might have known him. You might know him. But you might not know his miracle working power. And I know there are people that need miracles. And I know that he wants to reveal them. And you know what? That grace that he had. What did he do with Mary? Did he just leave her with the angels? Did he just leave her and go, Mary should have known that? What did he do? He came to her. He spoke to her. Mary, you, it's me, Jesus. He came to her. He came to her and showed himself to her in that moment of humanity, that moment of unbelief where she couldn't see. It says she saw him, but she couldn't see him. That fog, that trapped, that place where you can see, but you can't see. And he came and he brought clarity. He brought clarity. And then what did he do? He empowered her. She told the disciples. She saw with the eyes of faith. It's the Christ. It's the Messiah. Jesus, it's you. It happened. And then she ran out and told the disciples. She ran out. She didn't just tell the disciples. She told the people in that garden. She told everyone along the way. She ran with wonder and great joy because her eyes were open and the miracle working power of God was working in her life. And she knew. She knew and she knew.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.